everyone, and welcome to our EY Careers Uncovered podcast series. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be focusing on school leavers and apprenticeship opportunities. I'm Verity Pope, and I'm part of the UK employer brand team. EY is a professional services organisation that helps companies make better decisions about business, finance and technology. How? By asking better questions to help us all build a better working world and to create long-term value for our people, clients and society. This podcast series is here to cover a range of topics around apprenticeships, belonging at EY, what it's like working in the regional offices, and embracing the new normal that is a virtual working world. It's important to know that when we recorded these podcasts, the United Kingdom went into another national lockdown, so all of our people are working from home. Our people and apprentices will be sharing their stories in their own words, and I hope each episode leaves you feeling inspired to consider an apprenticeship opportunity with us. In today's episode, we're giving you an insight into the training, qualifications and support given to our apprentices that join us on either a degree apprenticeship or business apprenticeship. I'm chatting with Harriet Jones, apprentice coach based in our talent team. She gives students an insight into her role that supports apprentices throughout the programme. She also gives some key advice for anyone looking to join us. I'm also chatting with Abdullah Sati, 2018 Assurance Apprentice based in Hull, and Lizzie Oman, 2016 Assurance Senior, who has now completed the apprenticeship, and she shares all of her insights now that she's a qualified chartered accountant.
So obviously today's podcast is all about the training as an apprentice. So first of all, can you just tell me a bit about your role and what you do at EY?
Yeah, so we're both in audit, but I work with wealth and asset management clients. I used to work in banking and capital markets, but I moved across just to try and experience and the skills that I have. So most of my clients are based in London, so Mayfair area, and typically just asset management clients and private equity and hedge funds and quite large corporates as well. And on a day-to-day basis, you typically do testing. There's a lot of typing of memos, and especially on the big clients as well, there's a lot of, you know, large documents that you have to work through. But as you become more senior, you responsibility, you're given more tasks as well, and you take on a more managerial role within your clients, which makes the job actually quite significantly more exciting. So it's nice to progress in the job as well. And also with working for firms such as EY, there's so many things you can do during the day. You don't necessarily just have to do audit. Like, I'm getting involved in quality and how to improve the quality of audits, and other things like mentoring and you know, distributing out a weekly newsletter.
And Harriet?
So my role as an apprenticeship coach, so I guess primarily my role is to support the apprentices through their programme, and that's in a number of different ways. So we offer pastoral and wellbeing support to kind of make sure that they're supported through that aspect of their programme. We also monitor their progression, so make sure that they're kind of doing everything that they need to do to succeed in their apprenticeship. And then also supporting them to develop and achieve the knowledge, skills and behaviours that make up the apprenticeship standard that they're completing. Primarily as a team, we work with our Level 7 accounting and taxation apprentices, and that's because that's our largest programme, and we're the employer provider for that apprenticeship. But we do also have a number of other apprenticeships. So we have our digital degree apprenticeship, we have a chartered manager degree apprenticeship, and a couple of other programmes that we use training providers to deliver. So as a team, we do also support the apprentices on those programmes. Again, kind of offering that pastoral support, the wellbeing is definitely a really important aspect for them as well. And just making sure that they've got access to all of the resources that they need to be kind of successful within EY.
Great, that's fab. And I've got so many kind of questions to talk about that we'll come to later, Harriet, all around the training. But I just want to come to Abdullah and Lizzie for first, as obviously you're experiencing what it's like working at EY and also the qualification currently at the moment. Can you tell me what exactly it was that made you choose this particular apprenticeship route other than kind of, you know, the alternative route, which would be university?
I think for me, it didn't even start as this is what I wanted to do. I think I did physics at college and maths, accounting and business. But my initial path was always in my head to go do engineering at university. But I guess for me, from the first 6 weeks of physics at college, I decided that it's not for me. Mm-hmm. And I'd kind of picked accounting as a kind of subject that was just like, I got kind of turned up to the open evening and just like, what's this? And they were like, oh, just some calculations. And I was like, oh, I'll just do that and get an A level in that. And I was like, and then obviously, like, when I did it, it was like much more, I understood it and I could do it. And I think the teacher we had was very encouraging, and she kind of had, from our college, there was quite a lot of people who'd come to EY anyway. So when they encouraged that program, I went on the EY Discover program, as it was called, in 2016, which was like a 1 day experience day of EY. And I liked it. I think the elements of just the travel and the staying over and then just experiencing with different teams, I think that I did like how it was. And then I went on the Business Academy, which was like a 1 week work experience, which I did in tax because there wasn't anything, there wasn't available an audit in office near me. But I still did it because I wanted to see the experience. It was more about the experience, what it's like, what are people like at EY, what's the work experience. And I liked that experience, and I got fast tracked to that. Fast tracked to the interview, and then, which obviously I did the interview, and then I got my offer. But why I picked it over university was quite simple. Once I decided that that's what I wanted to do was accounting, at university you do 3 years, and then you do another 3 years to get qualified, which makes it six, and then you would probably be in about 50-60k in debt as well, whilst when you come on the apprenticeship you're getting paid and it's 5 years, and you, by the time that by the time the grad joins, you're more experienced than them, and you've only done 5 years, so you've saved 1 year and you're getting paid over the 5 years and you're just doing the exams that you need. So I think for me, that's just kind of, to me, was just a no-brainer.
My route was very similar to Abdullah. I actually studied chemistry, biology, maths and economics at A levels, and I initially planned to go to uni to study chemical engineering, but then I decided to take a gap year and just work over that year just to see how things goes. And I worked in industry for a year, and during that year I worked around the field of finance as well and IT, and I was speaking to a couple other people, of friends that I made during that year, about the schemes that are available, who also did apprenticeships as well. And they explained, you know, this is what scheme that's available, this is the qualification you get, this is where you can be at, and so this is the salary, etc. And that was really helpful, because halfway through my gap year, so I was preparing to go to uni, I was getting my room ready, I knew that I wanted fairy lights in this area, I knew that I wanted this I knew that I wanted this plush carpet over here, everything was ready. But then after having that chat with my friend, I then decided that, you know, there's more to life than just going to university. And you can be in the same exact position as someone who did go to university. There's nothing wrong with university at all, of course. Like, you can go to university is an option. But I felt like if I want in life, by not having to be in over 30k debt or however much it is, I'm pretty sure it's more than that, then I'm going to go through that route. So I then decided to start applying where I could. And during the interview processes, EY struck me as one of the best options to go for. Just from the interviews alone, like, everyone was just so friendly. The partner was just so lovely. It felt more like a conversation than someone trying to interrogate you, which is what I really enjoyed. And I just felt that this is the environment that was for me. And I'm very happy I made that decision as well. And I'm very happy that I did take the gap year, because otherwise I would have just gone to university, not having a sit back to decide what's best for me. And also in terms of salary, a lot of people think apprentices are on pennies, but it's a higher apprenticeship, the process of qualifying themselves.
And Lizzie, I just want to say a few things to you. You have recently, and really recently, I think, really qualified as a chartered accountant. How has that been, and how do you feel now that you've kind of qualified?
I feel like once I did get my results, I feel like all that hard years of hard work is now complete, and I kind of had to sit back with myself and like trying to decide what I'm going to do in my future, because it's like a couple years ago people were asking me, oh, you know, what are you going to do after you qualify, what are you going to do, and I was just like, I've still got time, it's all right, I've still got time, I don't want to think about it right now. But now I have to actually start thinking about it. I do feel very happy that I have qualified. It's been a lot of hard work, and yeah, for anyone who does want to go through the chartered accountancy route, as long as you put in the hard work, you will get the results you want. Yeah,
absolutely. And can you talk me through anything particularly that you've learned on your time throughout, you know, the qualification itself?
So the biggest things that I have learned over the past 4.5 years, I'd say, would be to first of all ask a lot of questions. Asking questions will allow you to learn a lot more, and people are there to assist you. You know, people, as Abdullah said earlier on, people have been through where you are at this very moment. A lot of people, when they start an audit, they actually don't know what audit is, and they don't know what they're meant to be doing. Like when I started, I didn't know, I knew what Excel was, but I think I'd only previously used it like once or twice before in IT and GCSEs. But yeah, you learn a lot during, especially during your first couple years, and you will continue to be learning. There are partners today who continue to be learning every single day. You know, you wouldn't know everything by the end of your first year, the end of your second year, but as long as you continue to ask questions and be open-minded and put in the hard work that's needed as well.
What I was thinking about, I think a lot of students and parents listening would want to clarify on the level of training and apprentices get. There's a lot of myths and rumours that fly around that apprenticeships, you know, they're not going to be as successful. I want my child to go to uni because they'll be more successful in the long term. Can you shed some light on this from your experience?
I think that myth is just sort of a myth. I mean, to be honest, I think I understand that hurdle, because I felt the same hurdle. Like, you don't want to go to university, and it's like I had to like take a, what do you call it, like a step out of land of the normal traditional route that everybody goes down, and trying to convince everybody like that this is what I want to do. And then it's like, well, you've chosen this, so you better get it. And I'm like, well, that you kind of, I had that pressure kind of thing when I started it, because in 2016, I think it's looking now in 2020 at the apprenticeship programs, there's quite a lot of people doing them now. They've been encouraged a lot more. So for me, it felt like it was like I'm taking this step, and I thought that I'd be convinced. And I think the way I would say to parents and teachers and students is, I think you have to do your research. If there's an experience day for a company, go try it out. It's just about, I want to experience what this company is like. You have to experience it. That's the only thing I can say that you have to do. But it's definitely a myth. And I think for me, for parents as well, and for students, I think there's a pressure at colleges sometimes to push people to get to university, because that's what they see as, and there's sort of the metric more for colleges is measured at what, how many people go to university, not as many as how many people do an apprenticeship, a higher apprenticeship especially. And I think for me, that's what I found at college. Everybody was kind of being pushed, make sure you do your UCAS application, make sure you do this. It wasn't as much in apprenticeship.
Yeah, so going off what Abdullah said, there is a huge stigma that apprenticeships are lower skilled jobs, and not necessarily like you can't go far with an apprenticeship, but that's completely incorrect. And I feel like that stigma is slowly being dismantled as the government continues to push them a little bit more. And, you know, there is greater presence of these large corporations within the schools and the colleges. And this, in terms of salary, as I said earlier on, it's exactly the same. Like, you progress equally as much as someone who's university. And there are partners who I work with who haven't gone to university, and so as soon as we remove that stigma, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you've kind of gone through your qualification, Lizzie, how have you found the level of responsibility growing as your training has progressed?
My level of responsibility has increased significantly in comparison to when I was in first year. In first year, you know, you're expected to do the quite basic task and essentially just there to assist the senior and the senior members of the team. Whereas when you are a senior and qualified senior, especially, and as you progress on, you're expected to actually manage and lead the team, which mm-hmm. is a huge amount of responsibility, especially when you're working on a client, for example, that's a FTSE 250 client, and it's a new client, which I'm on at the moment. So it can be quite overwhelming, and you kind of feel to yourself that, am I doing everything correctly? And you start doubting your capabilities. But yeah, it's difficult, but it's a huge learning curve. And I believe, like, when there is pressure put on you, that's how you learn better, for me anyway, and I think I'd say for a lot of people. So the amount of skills you pick up, you become so transferable.
And Harriet, I'm going to come to you now. Can you just tell me a bit more about the level of support your team give to apprentices?
Yeah, definitely. So as I said before, kind of our main role is to support the apprentices. So we're here to offer that support and guidance and help when it's needed, kind of as Abdullah mentioned. In terms of how we do that, so we have some sort of structured touch points. So we have one-to-one catch-ups with all of the apprentices. We do kind of more informal check-ins. We do a lot of online training and different webinars and things that they can join as kind of additional training and development for them. We also have a huge range of different resources that we've mm-hmm. developed. So I mentioned sort of mental health and well-being as being a really key focus generally, but I suppose more specifically during, you know, the current situation that we're in and the way that we're working at the moment, that's even more important than perhaps it has been before. So there's a huge amount of resources generally available at EY, and our role as coaches is to sort of signpost that and make sure that the apprentices are aware of what support is available mm-hmm. to them. We also are kind of generally available, so we have those structured touch points mm-hmm. that I mentioned, but essentially our doors are always open. We always kind of encourage the apprentices to reach out to us if they've got any kind of general queries, whether that's related to their qualification. We have a dedicated professional qualifications team who we work really closely with as apprenticeship coaches, and we can kind of direct specific qualification questions to them. We have a talent development team that run all of our internal training. So we also work really closely with them to sort of make sure that that training is suited and is right to help the apprentices develop the right skills and behaviours. And again, sort of directing the apprentices to them as and when, you know, questions might arise within those areas. So yeah, I guess essentially I'm a signpost to lots of different areas and things that EY has to offer, and really just a sounding board for apprentices to come to with any questions, any concerns, any challenges, and really just make sure that they're supported.
There's a lot of support that kind of goes on behind the scenes, a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes to make sure that these apprenticeship programs run and run smoothly, obviously, and they're quite a long period of time for our apprentices. So can you tell me a bit more about the things that your team does to make sure all of our apprentices are given the right level of training and development? So not necessarily just the qualification, but what other things does your team do to make sure they get that development that they need?
Yeah, so I mentioned, I think at the beginning, every apprenticeship now, so sort of the new standard of apprenticeships that got introduced sort of back in 2016, are made up of what's called the knowledge, skills and behaviours. And the purpose of the programme is for the apprentices to be able to develop across all of those areas. So a part of that is technical training. So things like, for example, with the level 7 accountancy and taxation programme, they will study towards becoming a chartered accountant. And so that's sort of the technical part of the role that they will do. And that's the professional qualification that they achieve as part of their apprenticeship. But there's also a huge amount of other kind of on the job training that they'll do, whether that's through formal courses that we run at EY, or whether that's through more informal coaching or work shadowing. or mentoring that they might receive from their team. So as an apprenticeship team, we're kind of responsible for making sure that all of those different elements are in place. So as part of that, we develop what's called our kind of core curriculum of learning. So for the Level 7 programme, we have for each service line a bespoke list of courses that the apprentices will take part in and attend throughout their time on the programme. So that's a really key way that we kind of monitor their progression as they move through the programme. But yeah, essentially our role is to just make sure that all of those different pillars of learning are there. So whether that's the kind of technical training, whether that's the structured learning kind of bespoke to their service line, or whether that's the more softer skills. And so we run a lot of different additional training that I mentioned. So things around how to develop a growth mindset, how to make sure that they've got the right business skills to succeed. So things like prioritization, managing their time. I know Abdullah mentioned, you know, that's one of the key skills to succeed with the qualification and sort of working and studying at the same time. You need to have that prioritization and that ability to manage and kind of make sure you're letting your team know what your capacity is. And so we do a lot of work around helping the apprentices to understand how they can do that, because I think that's one of the really key things that they need to develop. Mm-hmm. So basically everything's moved online. Everything's still happening, just albeit in a slightly different way to how it would have been before. All of the college is taking place virtually. Exams can either be taken online or at exam centres, depending on obviously the current restrictions that are in place within different regions. Mm-hmm. In terms of what we've done, I think some of the key things we've delivered virtually. So we had our student induction back in September 2020. So we had all of our new joiners starting from their homes. So they got their laptops kind of sent out to them, mm-hmm. And they were joining virtually for that 2-day induction. And then more recently, we also delivered back in the beginning of January, a business skills training day for 150 of our new apprentices. And that again was all delivered virtually. I think technology, as I mentioned before, has been a massive help in enabling us to be able to do as much as we have done. You know, there's a lot of new functionality around now. So there's things like, you know, breakout rooms, so you can still have those smaller discussions. And there's lots of online polls and quizzes that people can do. We actually did a virtual escape room in our business skills training day, which went down really well. So yeah, I think we're just trying to make it as interactive, make it as engaging as possible, and really minimise the impact on not being able to be there face to face to deliver that learning.
And Lizzie, what kind of things have you done over the course of your apprenticeship programme to lean on the apprentice coach or to know to really get and make use of the resources you've had?
So within college, we're able to email the tutor at any given point in time. There were a couple times where I've had to email the tutor at ridiculous hours and she was able to respond to me quite quickly in regard to like quite difficult questions in the question bank. So that's been extremely helpful. There are other sources available such as CABA, CABA, and it's essentially a mental health department, and they're essentially there to look after us throughout the whole process of doing our exams and even afterwards. I've never used them personally, but it's nice to have them just right there just in case I needed to.
And how do you use the training you're given now? Do you use it on a day-to-day basis, you know, training and qualification, the qualification that you have and that you've worked towards? How do you use it now?
I actually use it pretty much every single day, every minute that I'm working. And in fact, like I was just before this call, I was looking at my IFRS standard book, which we were given in college. So very useful book. So I use it every single day. It's a part of my job and it's essentially my role. So it's nice because a lot of people say that, you know, when they studied trigonometry or Pythagoras theorem, GCSEs and A levels, like, when am I ever going to use it in real life? And even though, you know, people do use those theories in real life, but not your everyday individual would be using Pythagoras theorem out of the blue. But with what I studied in college and the skills that I picked up through my exams, I'm using it absolutely every single day.
Well, Harriet, that's music to my ears. I don't know about you. It's getting all the attention it deserves. And Abdullah, what about you? So you're obviously two and a bit years into your qualification. How are you finding it and each stage of your qualification that you're getting through?
For me, I think it's been good in terms of the sense that, like Liz said, that it's what you study in is you can apply it to your work. I mean, there's some like exams that like law and stuff that still have applications where you think you wouldn't have applications to our work, but it does. And then obviously the tax element, if you do audit, it's interesting to see what goes on in that side, because usually we'll give that to the tax team and sometimes we'll do less complicated things. So it's always interesting to see how to apply that. And as you do the more like the advanced level and the professional level exams, it applies more. You can see it makes you think better when you do your job. So for example, like, how can I test this, or why do we do this, and the questions you have, why do we do this testing, and what's the result we're trying to get out of this. And once you do them exams, I feel like it opens up why we're doing it, and it gives you a better perspective.
Absolutely. And Harriet, from your side of things, in the role that you're in and the team that you're part of, what would you say is the most important thing for apprentices to know while they're completing their qualification? What's the most important thing for them?
So I would say, I think probably the most important thing, and I think Lizzie and Abdullah have both touched on this in what they've said, is I think it's that understanding that in order to succeed on the apprenticeship, or you know, any apprenticeship that you're completing, mm-hmm. you know, it is going to take hard work and dedication from themselves, and there is, you know, the time that they're going to need to put in to achieve, you know, the goals that they want to achieve. But then on the flip side of that, it's also knowing that they do have access to a really wide range of support, whether that's from, you know, different individuals within our team and within their own teams, and all of the resources that they have to kind of assist them mm-hmm. On that journey. So I think it's really important for them to know that that support is there and that they can reach out, and it's encouraged for them to reach out if they do need that support and they need that help. And I think, like Lizzie has mentioned a couple of times as well, it's not just the support from EY, it's the support from the training provider and the tutors that they have. And so really making sure that they utilise that and kind of use that to help them succeed.
And you see a lot of apprentices, obviously at different stages of their qualification. So you see apprentices that have just joined, like you mentioned, and apprentices that have qualified. What would you say are the key kind of strengths needed to succeed on the business apprenticeship or the degree apprenticeship with us?
Good question. So I think there's a couple of different things. I think some of them have been touched on before by Lizzie and Abdullah, which is great. The first one for me is really about being inquisitive. You know, it is about asking questions and showing an interest, and that's what's going to lead you to being involved in different experiences and different opportunities kind of outside of the day-to-day role, which can really help in adding value to your kind of overall experience as an apprentice. But then it's also about being focused and kind of knowing that there are times on the programme where you are going to have to get your head down and really focus on the exams, focus on studying, focus on, you know, the busier periods that you might have at work. And that's where that time management and prioritisation really comes in, to being able to manage that in the best way that you can. And also being adaptable. So at EY, you know, you're always going to come across new challenges, new opportunities, and it's really important to be open to adapting the way that you're working and your working style, to really ensure that you can learn the most from those experiences as they come up. And I think lastly, a really, really important one that I see, you know, the apprentices that are really succeeding and really pushing themselves out of their comfort zone is about being engaged. You know, there's so many different things that you can get involved in. You know, you have all of the things within your department, within your day-to-day role, all of the new opportunities that you can put yourself forward for, but there's also all of the extra training that you can do. There's things like our EY badges program, there's things like the EY networks that you can get involved in. There's lots of different ways that you can engage with opportunities outside of your day-to-day, and that's the thing that can really broaden your horizons, really broaden your experience, and, you know, allow you to get the most out of your time on the programme.
Absolutely, and I think if 2020 taught us anything, as a whole. I know as a firm, we've always been very much adaptable and able to adapt and work from home. But 2020 really has been the year where having the skill of being able to adapt and the strength to be able to adapt will just set you, you know, huge heads apart to make sure that you're kind of keeping up with everything and all the changes. So yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And finally, what advice would you give to others looking to take the step of, you know, joining the apprenticeship? There's probably students kind of like you, Lizzie, that might be taking a gap year. There's a lot of students at school, maybe about to go into year 13. So thinking about a business academy, what would you say to them, help them in their decision making?
I would say, don't allow your parents to make your decision for you. This is your life. This is your career. This is your job. So you need to enjoy what it is you're doing.
And Harriet, for anyone that's about to join us on an apprenticeship program or our current apprentices, what advice would you give to them to make sure that they have, you know, the best experience possible?
I would say my kind of main piece of advice is just to really be open. So be open to the opportunities that are there, be open to the challenges and to making mistakes, because that's where you're going to learn. You know, be open to stepping outside of your comfort zone and trying something new. But really, most importantly, kind of be open to asking for help when you need it, and be open to kind of using all of the support options that are there to help you along the way on your journey. But yeah, just kind of be open to all the different aspects of being an apprentice at EY, and that's how you'll get the most out of the opportunity.
Thank you so much to all of you for sharing your insights with me today, and obviously this is all about, you know, the training that comes with a professional business level 7 apprenticeship or a degree apprenticeship. So I just think it's been absolutely so insightful and so invaluable to anyone listening. So thank you so much for chatting with me today. And have a fabulous rest of your time at EY, whether it's in lockdown or in the office. Hope to see you all soon.
If you've been inspired by today's episode and want to learn more about our opportunities, then go to our website at ey.com/UK/apprentices.